11. The Practical Commands. I wake early. Jess is already out. A few of the others are gone, too. I rise and go out. The sun is beginning to come up in the east. I hear voices. A small group is ahead, walking down from a high hill near the place where we had spent the night. Jess is walking in front of them. Light surrounds him. He is bathed in a glow of dazzling white. He and Pete and John and Jim approach. I sense immediately that there has been a momentous change. Jess's face is radiant. Beside him, Pete's face is almost aglow too, as if the light of understanding has at last broken upon him. He looks calmer and more at peace than I have ever seen him. I sense that a transformation has taken place. I retreat back and do not speak. The moment between the four as they approach seems too holy to intrude upon. They continue toward me. The three with Jess appear awestruck. I follow as they walk back to join the others. Later that morning, we continue on our way. As we near the city, Jess gathers us close around him and begins to teach again. He no longer speaks in obscure teachings that are hard to understand. He becomes very direct and clear. "What have I been teaching you?" he asks. "To live in God's kingdom," I reply. "How is that done?" "By loving God with all your heart," says Pete, "and loving your neighbor as yourself." "That is correct. You have answered well," replies Jess. "In these two great commandments are summed up all the law and the prophets. But now we must clarify what they mean yet more practically. There must be no mistaking what I want you to do. The will of the Father is that you love those he places in your path, that you serve them, are kind to them, and do what good lies in your power to do for them. We have been together a long time," he goes on, "but a change is coming, and you must be ready for it. Have you been listening to what I have taught? Have they not been very down-to-earth principles? The will of God is no more distant than your neighbor. By seeking the Father's will in obedience to these practicalities will your sonship be perfected. Do you seek the will of God? That is why I came, to tell you and show it to you. Such have I been doing all along. Listen and pay attention to what you hear. The Father does not want so much of your worship, your ministry, your emotion, your celebration. He wants your obedience in the next moment and in every moment of your life. So listen to what I tell you. I do the will of the Father not because I cannot help it, but because I choose to be an obedient son. He calls you to that same obedient sonship, that same obedient daughterhood. I have called you to share in the joy of my obedience." He pauses, and we walk a long way in silence. At length, he draws in a deep breath, as if beginning again, and then speaks. "All right, then," he says. "These are the principles, as simple as I can make them for you to understand, by which you are to demonstrate that you are my Father's children. By these attributes will the world recognize those who belong to my Father. So listen and heed what I am about to tell you. God is love," he says. "His essence is love. He sent me to you because he loves the world and every creature in it. I, too, love all mankind. Therefore, if anyone would be my disciple, he or she must love. That love must be lived out in practicalities, not pronouncements, in deeds, not doctrine, in cups of cold water to the thirsty, not pious words of theology. It is the first and highest command of the kingdom, the ultimate mark of the Father's sons and daughters. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples: love God, love man. The second of my commands sums up much that I have said to you in 100 different ways. Find daily opportunities to do good to those around you. Simple goodness holds the world together in the midst of its sin. The constant breaking forth of goodness within and among the world's people is an invisible indication that the kingdom of God is alive in the midst of Satan's brief domain. It reminds the world that someone greater than the Prince of Darkness is watching over them. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples: be good, do good. The third great command is to pray. Have you not seen me in constant communion with my Father, before day, at the end of the day, and throughout every day? My spirit is constantly listening to the Father's voice within me. How else can you be one with your Heavenly Father, unless your heart is open to Him, that He may speak to you, and you to Him? Listen continually to His voice. But remember what I have taught you about prayer, that it must be unseen by those around you. You must make no show of spirituality. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples: pray. Even though goodness blossoms within it, the world does not know my Father. It is a world whose ways are contrary to His ways, whose thoughts are contrary to His thoughts, whose values are contrary to His values. It is a world that will hate you because you belong to me, and will oppose you and ridicule you because of me. It is a world whose prince is the ruler of darkness, Satan himself. For as long as you are in the world, therefore, you must be careful and on guard. This enemy will do his utmost to destroy your faith. To walk in the world, but not of the world, will require the full power of your heart and mind and soul, being focused attentively to the battle between light and darkness, of which you are a part. To walk in the light, you must perceive the dangers of the darkness. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples: be careful, watchful, alert, and on guard. Because I have called you, and because you have been born into the citizenship of a new kingdom, henceforth you are no longer citizens of this world. It is not your home. It will be difficult at times not to become lonely and discouraged, for you will be as a pilgrim and foreigner in a strange land. Many hardships, trials, and difficulties will assail you. You will be persecuted, for so have been all God's saints. The life of the disciple requires strength. This is no merry life, frivolous life, easy life, or always a happy life. There is a victory which overcomes the world, but for some that victory lies in the future. I will give you my joy, but it is a joy carved within you by sorrow. Your loyalty, allegiance, and citizenship belong to the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of man. But do not despair and fear not, for I have overcome the world, and I will always be with you. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples: take heart, be courageous, do not be afraid. In no other way is the love of God so manifest among men as in acts of courtesy and kindness. Gracious and selfless kindness is to characterize your normal mode of behavior toward all you meet. In kindness ought you to carry yourself at all times. Like goodness, the simple virtue of kindness holds the fabric of this present world together in the midst of its sin. Without it, despair would surely reign. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples. Treat others with the kindness with which you would have them treat you. It is impossible to be a vigorous citizen of my Father's kingdom without applying your mind diligently to the principles of that kingdom. To grow as his sons and daughters will not happen by accident, but only as you carefully learn of the Father's ways, and then energetically obey them. You must keep your mind always awake and alert. When I or my Father speak, it is so that you might learn of our ways and to help you walk as a son and daughter. You must think with diligence. Otherwise, the subtle snares of the world will unknowingly lure you into its values and priorities. You were given minds to use for the glory of God and to enable you to live powerfully as his sons and daughters. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples. Listen carefully. Be clear-minded and mentally diligent. Apply yourselves to learn of and understand the Father's kingdom. In the world, men rejoice when fate, as they see it, smiles upon them. When things go their way, they are glad. When things go contrary to their wishes, they grumble and complain. But I say to you, when you yield yourselves into the Father's care, nothing occurs outside his design. Therefore, complaint is no longer to have any part in your life. Thank God for everything, for if you allow it, he will make good come of it. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples. Rejoice, whatever your circumstances. As my followers, you are called to a new and distinctive standard in your relationships than is practiced by the world. You have heard that it was said, "Love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love all men and make the most strenuous effort toward those whom the world would say you are not obligated to care about. Your love of these will set you apart as belonging to the Father's family. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples. Do good, pray for, and forgive those who do you wrong. The words of your mouth are constant indication of the attitudes that lie deep in your heart. Therefore, guard your tongue. Say what you mean, and let your words be seasoned with salt in all circumstances and about all people. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples. Speak with grace. As I have served you, so must you serve one another. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples. Be a servant. It is impossible to be a child in the childlikeness of the kingdom while self-will rules. All motives must be abandoned into the will of God. Especially must your supposed rights be abandoned, that most subtle stumbling block of pride with which the world is so infected. Beware, it will seek to delude you at every turn. Lay it down. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples. Deny yourself. Lose your life in the will of the Father. The harmony of brotherhood, the peace of compassionate affection, is to characterize your relationships with others of your kind. In the world there is strife between men and women, each seeking his and her own good at the expense of their neighbor. It shall not be so among you. Whoever would be first among you must be last of all and servant of all. I want you to walk in peace and harmony, esteeming others ahead of yourself. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples. Be devoted to, reconciled, united, and at peace with all men. The self-righteous man or woman, proud of his or her accomplishments, proud of his standing, and especially those proud of their spirituality, can have no part in the kingdom of God. Pride was Satan's downfall, and is the very air by which his temporary rule on earth is sustained, everyone thinking more highly of themselves than they were created to think. He who would walk with my Father must breathe a different air, the air of submission. Humility is the oxygen of the kingdom. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples. Do not exalt yourself. Walk in meekness and humility. Once you have given yourselves to the Father, your life is no longer your own. Its cares are not yours. Its worries are not yours. You are in His hands now, just as I have been during this sojourn of mine among you. You may believe in His goodness. He is a good Father who will accomplish good in your life. You may trust Him in all things. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples. Do not worry. Trust God. Have faith. Believe. As my Father's sons and daughters, you are called to an extraordinary life, visibly distinct from the world. You are to be different than other men and women, not by external appearances, but in character, motive, and attitude, better in all ways. You are to reflect the nature and character and goodness of your Father in heaven. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples. Be righteous. How else will the world see love in you, unless your compassion is visible and active? Therefore, do good. Let your light shine with deeds before men. Care for the needy. Give cups of cold water to the thirsty and dying. Let your hands be the Father's hands among the less fortunate. Otherwise you will have no part in me, and it will be as if I never knew you. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples. Care for those in need. Give to the poor. The rewards of childship are not immediate, as many teach who do not know my Father's ways. Believe me when I assure you that all who have left home or land or family or wealth for the kingdom will receive 100 times more in the life to come. For many who are first will be last, and the last first. But much in this present life will be hard, and those rewards from my Father's hand are often not easily visible. You will not always have wealth, health, or happiness. If you ask Him for bread, He will not give you a stone, but to the unseen it may appear a stone. Your life may appear hard, and its blessings may not be visible. Therefore, hold fast to what I have taught you, and cling to your Father's hand. His true children will be given a crown of righteousness on that day. So this I command you, if you would be my disciples. Persevere and endure in faith. The discussion and our many questions regarding the practical list of commands He is giving us last 2 days. Occasionally, one or another of our number starts to write down what he is saying. An IRS auditor named Matt is one of the most persistent. But each time, Jess stops him and makes him put his writing things away. The time for remembering will come, he says. When it does, the Holy Spirit will bring everything back into your minds. For now, I do not want you to categorize my teaching. It too easily becomes mere theology and turns hard and inflexible. These commands contain the power to transform you into the Father's sons and daughters. Do not remove that power by trying to systematize them. I want you to see, through these things I am telling you, what kind of man and woman is my follower. I do not want you to memorize them. I want you to be the kind of person characterized by these priorities, who lives these qualities, and thus brings glory to your Father in heaven. Do not learn a list such as, I must pray, I must be kind, I must not worry, so that you can analyze it. Instead, pray, be kind, and trust your Father. I came that you might become sons and daughters of your Father. Do not study every attribute of sonship. There is no power in the studying of them. There is only power in doing them. The power in the commands I give you is the power to transform you from selfish and prideful men and women into self-denying sons and daughters of the Most High. Do not dogmatize my teaching. Be His children. From Jesus, an Obedient Son, by Michael Phillips. Read by Michael Kimball. More information on this and other writings may be found at fatheroftheinklings.com. Visit Amazon to purchase Jesus, an Obedient Son, and other books by Michael Phillips.